Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad that you're with us this morning. I don't know about you guys, but it's been kind of chilly here in the mornings in San Antonio. We are in peak cedar season, so there's lots and lots of colds and allergy stuff going on. But I know one thing, that God is faithful, and He will do an amazing work with and through all of us. And one of the things that was on my heart as I was preparing for our lesson for the week was waiting on the Lord. And sometimes, man, it's so hard to wait on the Lord. So I thought, you know, what are we supposed to do when we're waiting? You know, does it tell us in the Word? And I found that it does. And so I wanted to share with you the components of waiting so that we know, you know, what God's doing and how to best navigate those times. So let's open in prayer, and then we'll do our lesson, and then I'll close out in prayer for your prayer requests. Father God, I thank you so much for this amazing day. I thank you that you've given us another. Lord, I praise you and thank you that you are going to speak through me, Lord, through my mouth. And I'm humbled by this opportunity. So, Lord, I pray that you would just help me to decrease, that you would increase, that you would help me to be your humble servant, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for what you would have for us to receive, that you would take the scales off of our eyes, that you would unplug our ears, Lord, and that we would have our hearts ready to receive all the goodness that you have for us. We love and thank you, and a special blessing on this message. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I assume that you are, that God's spoken some things into your heart that haven't come to pass yet. And I'm not a very patient person. And no, I'm not going to just say that we're going to pray for patience, because I've done that in the past. And what happens then is that you get every trial that comes your way so that you can learn and grow in those to become more patient. But what I do want to talk about are what do we do during those times when things haven't come to pass and we keep waiting and waiting on the Lord. And I want you to know that any time that you step out to believe God, the enemy's going to try to distract you and discourage you. As far as I know, those are the two biggest ways that he comes in, that, you know, and that self-talk. And a lot of times he'll distract and discourage you with your self-talk. And what he does is he tries to do this in order to get you off course. But when you hold that promise in your heart, when you picture it in your mind, when you declare it with your words, you begin to feel more confident that he's going to do this. You feel empowered and settled in your heart. You begin to have joy and peace because you know God's working behind the scenes on your behalf. So one of the things I want to encourage you with today is to grab hold of the promise of God and don't let it go. I mean, tenaciously grab onto that puppy. If you've got to wrap a rope around your wrist to hang on, I want you to do that because you cannot let go. And one of the ways that you can do that is by seeing it in your mind's eye. Can you see yourself healed? Can you see yourself driving your car? Can you see yourself paying off that last debt? Can you see yourself at your ideal weight? Can you see yourself sharing the gospel with a family member or a coworker? Can you see your wayward child coming back to the Lord? Can you see your marriage restored? Can you see being loved and appreciated and cared for the way that you deserve? Ask the Lord to give you a vision for your future, and then I want you to believe it. Believe, see, and receive every blessing that he has in store for you. You know, it tells us in the Word in Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So it doesn't say just ask for it, right? That is an important part. We do need to ask. However, it tells us what our part is. Believe that you have received it. I want you to get this verse deep, deep in your heart, because Mark 11:24 gives us the secret on what we need to do in the meantime while we're waiting on the Lord. But what does it really mean to wait on the Lord, right? Well, it's not even a suggestion. It's actually a command that's mentioned many times in the Old and the New Testament. It's to wait on the Lord. In all the cases, it means waiting expectantly with hope. Every single one of the definitions of waiting means to wait expectantly with hope. And this is fundamental in our faith walk, right? And what we do as Christians. But something else that's fundamental to this is being able to wait and be able to do this well is to trust in God's character and in his goodness. Waiting on the Lord is something that the godly people do, right? It's holding on tight, hoping with expectation and trust, knowing that our Lord, our God, is not making us wait just to see how long, you know, we can take it. Many times we're like, oh, Lord, why are you making me wait? Well, he's not doing it on purpose, just like, say, okay, like, Becky, you can hang on just a little bit longer. I'm going to wait till you get to, like, the ragged edge of your fingernails on the edge of the cliff before I'm going to say, okay, now I'm going to give it to you. God's not like that. There are times when God will delay his answer, and for sure, I've seen it over and over in my life. And there's going to be times where we might wonder why he seems to be so reluctant to, like, intervene in our affairs. I mean, even think about this. Listen to what David said in Psalm 69:3. He says, I'm worn out calling for help. My throat's parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. And how many times have you been there? I've spent hours and hours and days at times and weeks and years praying. But getting to that point where I've cried so much before the Lord, where my eyes are little slits and my throat is parched, I'll be honest with you, I'm there today. I spent hours and hours crying out before the Lord last night. When's the last time that you felt that God left you and had forsaken you? He promises that he hasn't. But he does tell us that many times we need to intercede, that we need to come before him, praying in the Spirit, and cry out before him. You know, one of the things that I notice as we wait on the Lord is sometimes it requires two key elements. The first one is a complete dependence on God. And the second, a willingness to allow him to decide the terms, including the timing of his plans. You know, trusting God with the timing of events is one of the hardest things for me to do. You know, I always say, like, you know, oh, Lord, like, give it to me now, right? You know, and we've heard people pray for patience and that they needed it right now. But the thing is we do go to the Lord many times that way, don't we? Instead of trusting that his timing's best. But if we always look in hindsight, we'll see that he was doing a work, that he knew the best time. But we try to rush him, don't we? Waiting involves the passage of time, doesn't it? That's kind of a given, right? And just being able to be given time is a gift. I know that you know many people that have passed. We had a very dear aunt to John pass over the week, or like towards the weekend on Friday. And, you know, she lived a very long life. And one of the things that she always said to do was to maximize the time. A lot of times the word wait in the Bible always, you know, it kind of carries an idea of a confident expectation or hope. We talked about that, right? Because we know that Psalm 62, 1 and 5 both say, for God alone my soul waits in silence. My hope is from him. Now, get the first part. My soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. It needs to wait in silence. I don't know about you, but my mind seldom is silent. I have to really work hard at silencing my mind before the Lord so that he can speak to me. To wait on the Lord is to expect something from him in hope. And let me tell you, Romans 5:5 tells us that hope doesn't disappoint. So God isn't going to disappoint you. Think about it like when you've got company coming. When we moved far away from my immediate family, my kids and I, we would be so excited when we were going to be able to have our family come and visit us that we would do special things. Like we would strip the beds and spray it with lavender oil and we would put on the best sheets and we'd clean the house and we would just sit and wait. And it would seem like, you know, we'd call every 10 minutes. Are you here yet? How close are you? Where are you at now? As we were so excited and expecting them to come. Do we wait for the Lord to come to us in that fashion? Whether it's something we're expecting that we've asked from him or even his second return. Psalm 23 tells us and reminds us that waiting on the Lord involves being at rest in the Lord. That means that he says he'll make us lie down by still water. And that's where the good shepherd leads us, right? That to that stillness. But he makes me lie down. To me, that's almost like, you know, like when you're telling your dog down, like we're training and teaching Doodles down, right? So we can get her to do it if we bring a treat and we put, you know, do that down. But at first we had to kind of like help her figure out down with her body and kind of press on her just a little bit to let her know this is what down means. And I almost think that God has to do that sometimes with us and say, you know, this is what down means. He kind of makes our behind go down and pushes our shoulders down sometimes until we are willing to lay down by the still waters. It means that we cease from following our own agenda and that we're willing to trust in him. We're waiting for his next command. You know, one of the other things that I see is that when we wait on the Lord, we exchange our weakness for his strength, right? 2 Corinthians 12:9 tells us that. You know, the Apostle Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh, right? And as he gains spiritual insight, he understands that the affliction is a protective suffering meant by God to keep him from sin. I wonder how many things that we're resisting being still about or waiting on the Lord for, that he's just saying, you know, this is a protection for you. You know, I know that waiting on the Lord is to rest. But I think it's not just resting, like where we just say, okay, Lord, you do everything. I think it's resting in the confident assurance that regardless of the details or the difficulties that we face in this life, these circumstances around us, we need to know that God never leaves us without a sure defense. He even told Moses with the panicky Israelites trapped at the Red Sea. I mean, can you imagine how the freak out they were having? He said, you know what, don't worry about it. I'm going to fight for you. All you need to do is to be still. So let me ask you this. How many times, maybe God's trying to protect us. Maybe he's trying to fight for us, but we keep getting up and getting in the way of the battle. He says to be still. The heavenly perspective comes as we focus not on the trouble, but on the Lord and his word and what he can do and what he will do. When it seems like God's painted us into a corner, we have an opportunity to set aside our human viewpoint and wait upon the Lord to show his power, his purpose, his salvation, the way that he wants to do it. But when we don't wait on the Lord, when we choose to do something else, we're just soliciting trouble for ourselves, aren't we? Think about how Abraham and Sarah didn't wait on the Lord for their child of promise. Rather, Sarah said, you know what? I'm going to give you Hagar. Let's do this with Hagar. What a mess that's been. And we still see the repercussions of that. You know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years later. I think the command to wait on the Lord means that we're able to be near to him and hear him and be attentive to him so that we can catch the slightest thing that he wants to do for us. I think one of the big mistakes that we make is we think that we're self-sufficient. We turn here and there and we expect to help, you know, God to help us from our own ability many times. But that's not what it is. In the spiritual life, we're taught to distrust self and depend only on the power of the Holy Spirit. And that goes against everything that we've been taught. But it also tells us in the Word, in Isaiah 40:31, that we need to wait on the Lord because that's where our strength will be renewed. So if you're finding yourself in that space where, you know what, you feel like David did with our opening talk, that he said, you know, my eyes, my throat's parched, my eyes can't even see because I've been crying out to you, Lord. I want you to just continue to believe. I want you to see it in your mind's eye. I want you to declare it, and I want you to receive it. Don't grow weary because he has the strength for you. You know, it tells us in Matthew 19:26 that with God, all things are possible. You know, I know many of you are business owners that are on this call this morning, and I want you to think about this from this perspective. There was a gentleman one time, and his business was really, really slow, and it looked like it was going to go under. He owned a small manufacturing company with only one major competitor in town. And the competitor was a national company, and it was bigger, had more resources. It seemed like it was, going to completely put this small business owner out of business. The economy was down, and it made it harder and harder for him to stay open. The man was flexible about what he should do next, but he really believed he was in the business that God wanted him to be in. So what he did is he just kept praying. He kept believing. He kept hoping. He kept seeing it in his mind's eye that he was successful. And instead of considering his circumstances that were all around him, he considered his God. Have you been considering your God, or have you been looking at your circumstances and allowing yourself to go to that place where, oh, woe is me, I'll never succeed? Well, look at all the things against me. Or are you looking at your God and knowing that he's more powerful, and he promised to renew your strength? And just when he thought he was going to have to close down, what happened to this man is his main competitor had a change in leadership and direction and decided to pull out of his market and just decided, you know what, they were done. Now guess what happened to this business owner? He's breaking all kinds of records. But what would have happened if he wouldn't have waited on the Lord? If he would have taken circumstances? Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. The thing is, what if he would have stopped? What if he would have said, you know what? Look at these circumstances. I'm just a small business owner. This is a big box company. They have far more resources than me. Nobody's coming into my store. Nobody wants to purchase from me. Oh, look at my family can barely survive. We have to cut back. You know, I know that God said that this was the business I was supposed to be in, but God doesn't really know the circumstances. He's not paying attention to me right now. He would have lost everything. And I believe he would have lost some of his faith in the Lord. He would allow his discouragement from his circumstances around him to take over and take hold instead of waiting with expectation and waiting with hope in the Lord. Now he's breaking all kinds of records. I want to encourage you, if there's something coming against you, consider your God. He has a way to meet every one of your needs. He might not be able to, beat the competition in the natural. But what he can do is simply remove the competition. He can handle it at a spiritual level, right? He doesn't want anyone to fail. He only creates perfectly and abundantly. So what he did is he said, you know what? I want to create abundance in both of your businesses. And because I hear you crying out to me, and you're right, you are in the right business. I told you what to do. All I'm asking is that you stay faithful and you keep believing in me. You keep praying. You keep declaring. You keep living as if you were successful and doing the things that I told you to do to be successful. You will be successful. And then he took the other large store out of that market, and guess what? I'm sure they're thriving as well. He wants to give you his favor. God wants to give you his favor. He wants to give you the advantage for success. But you've got to trust him and believe, because with God, all things are possible. And then you need to take the action steps necessary to do what he's already called you to do. So let me ask you this. What are you expecting? Do you remember back, if you've ever been pregnant? I don't know if all of you on the call have been pregnant or not, but if you've ever been pregnant, we call it expecting, right? You're expecting, we're expecting a baby, and you get all excited. But let me tell you, for me, every time it was that last month, the 4 weeks before I was ready to have the baby, every day I would wake up and tell the baby, okay, today's your birthday, because I was expecting them to come. I've been expecting you to come. I knew there was greatness inside of me when I was having a baby, right? Well, there's greatness inside of you. As a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells and lives within you. You have all the power and all the authority in heaven and earth living on the inside of you. Do you have your mouth open wide today? In other words, are you expecting God to fill you and increase you beyond measure? Are you like that little baby bird waiting for that mouth to be fed? One thing that closes off what God wants to do in your life is negative thinking. If you go around thinking, well, you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to meet my sales goal this month. Look at the economy. Look at my upline. They don't even support me. They don't even like me. Or are you thinking, you know, I'm never going to get promoted. I'm not all that qualified. Or I don't think I'll ever get well. Then the problem is that your mouth's barely open. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. What is the faith coming out of your mouth? Is it negative or is it positive? He might as well have said, you know, if you've got a cup, I'll fill you with a cup level of blessing. If you've got buckets, I'm going to give you buckets full of blessing. If you've got huge containers, I'm going to fill huge containers. What Jesus is saying today, why don't you take the limits off? Why don't you believe for supernatural opportunities? Why don't you go out each day expecting increase and promotion? Expect favor. Expect peace. Expect joy. Expect love. If you'll go out each day expecting far and beyond favor, I'm telling you, you'll open up your mouth wide. Not only receive what God wants to feed you, but sharing your faith, believing with faith, and you won't be disappointed. He's going to fill your cup until it overflows so that you can live the abundant life that he has in store for you. Psalm 81:10 says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. It doesn't mean that he's going to do it maybe. It says, I will fill it, which means he's going to fill it. You know, Micah 3:8 says, but as for me, I'm filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice, and with might. Micah knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. He understood that in order to be encouraged, he had to draw courage and purpose into his life. He realized the power in his words, and he spoke God's truth to prepare him to accomplish all God had in store for him. When we declare God's word and we come into agreement with him, that's the faith in action. Just like salvation comes when we believe and we declare and we believe, right? That's what it tells us in Romans 10:9-10. When we believe, all of God's truth is established when we believe and declare it. Job 22:28. That's how we invite him into our lives. So today I want you to invite God into your life by your words that you're speaking, what you're thinking. Draw on his strength by declaring his word. Declare what he is with you and that he is with you and that he has equipped you to overcome every obstacle that you might face. Look at your words. Look at your thoughts. And then you need to pass them on to other people. Genesis tells us that not everybody's going to believe what we believe, right? Genesis 48:15-16 said, and he blessed Joseph and said, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my father is Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into multitude in the midst of the earth. But what happens is not everybody's going to believe, right? We know that whole story, and I'm not going to go into the whole story of Joseph. But what I do want to point out is that in order to help other people to believe at the same level that we do, that we need to realize that not everyone we influence is going to think the same way that we do. And I know many of you work with teams, and that's why I want you to get a really strong hold of waiting on the Lord, knowing that we need to believe and we need to declare, we need to see and we need to receive, but that not everybody might do that. So I want you to have also a tool today in order to take this forward with those on your teams. We have to not only help them believe that they can succeed, but we need to show them that you want them to succeed, that it's not just about you. It's about the team succeeding, right? So how do we do that? Especially if we're involved with a team of other people, we need to start expecting it. I don't know if you're getting, like, the message here, like, is it coming through clear, but it comes through expectation. People can sense your underlying attitude no matter what you say or do. They know if you're expecting it or not. They can hear it in the tone of your voice. They see it by your actions. They see it by what you're posting on Facebook. They see it by those that are all around you. They see it regardless of what you say or do, but it's there. If you have an expectation for your people to be successful, they're going to know it, right? And if your upline doesn't have that for you, or your leader doesn't have that for you, or your boss or manager doesn't have that for you, I want you to release it, because you have the power. We've talked about it today. It's up to you. It's not their business. It's your business to make the shift. You can be the 360-degree leader, causing that expectation and letting other people know that you expect and that they will be successful. You need to then project it. People need to hear you tell them that you believe in them and want them to succeed. Become a positive prophet of their success. Speak it into their life, just like you're doing your own. Reinforce it. You can never do too much when it comes to believing in people. So believe in them. Let them know. Tell them over and over again. And even if someone's not doing it for you, because I know that some of you are thinking, yeah, but nobody does that for me. Oh, yes, they do. Open up the word. It speaks to you. God's doing it. Holy Spirit's doing it. You're on this call. I'm doing it. I believe in your success. But you need to keep reinforcing it in others, and you need to verbalize it. Once people recognize and understand that you genuinely want to see them succeed and are committed to helping them, they will begin to believe that they can accomplish what you give them to do. So wait on the Lord. Believe it, see it, speak it, receive it, and do the same for others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you that you have filled us with your power and your strength. We declare that you are with us, equipping us for every circumstance in this life and in our businesses, Lord. Today we put our trust in you. We know that you're faithful and you have good things in store for our futures. Thank you for giving us patience to stand and to see your promises come to pass in every area of our life and our businesses. Thank you for the gift of faith, and we ask you that you would search our hearts and our minds and remove anything that doesn't please you. Remove those negative thoughts. We ask forgiveness for those and for not having faith in you, Father God. Give us your thoughts of peace and joy and love today so that we can receive all you have for us in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and humble our hearts so that they would be ready to receive all you have for us. Teach us to live in a life that's pleasing to you so that we can be an example of your love in the world and to all of those around us. And Father God, I pray for healing now in Jesus' name for Carol's eye and Gloriella's cold. And Father God, I pray that you would maximize Jeannie's time today, that you would help her to be focused, that you would give her the support that she needs immediately, Father, and that you would increase her confidence and comfort as she prepares the presentation. Lord, help her not to feel fragmented. We call back all of those fragmented pieces back into her soul, Lord, that have been fractioned and taken away. Lord, I pray that anything that's been split or taken would be restored now in Jesus' name. And Father God, I pray for our leaders and our leadership, Father. Lord, I thank you that you've put your men and your women in place. Lord, I thank you for our president. I thank you for every leader, all the way down to those that are leading our homes, leading our businesses. Lord, we know that you are the one that promotes, that you're the one that gives position. And Lord, we know that at times we don't understand, but Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would have your will and have your way. Lord, I pray that you would bring forth unity in our country, in our homes, in our businesses, in Jesus' name. Lord, we stand right now in agreement, and it says where two or three are gathered together, that you will be there also. So, Father God, you tell us also that you will, whatever we ask, we can receive as long as we believe with unwavering faith. So, Father God, we are believing for unity. In Jesus' name, we declare it over our country. We declare it over our homes, over our businesses. And Lord, I pray that you would heal Diane's back, Lord, that it be restored and strengthened. Lord, I pray that you would help her to restore the core of her being, Lord. When we have back issues, Lord, I know many times it's been because our core is not strengthened. And Lord, I receive that word for Diane now in Jesus' name, that she is brought back to strengthening the core of her life and her business. Lord, I thank you that you are healing now in Jesus' name. I thank you that you will help us to be silent so that we can hear even the slightest nuance of you speaking to us. Help us not to always be thinking about our circumstances around us, Lord. Actually, forgive us because we have thought too much about our circumstances and not relied as heavily on you as we could or should. So, Father, I ask that in Jesus' name, that that remains our focus. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you guys have an amazing week. If the Lord spoke to you during our time today, feel free to send me a message or if he's answered a prayer. I love to be able to continue to pray for you throughout the week. Jeannie, tell Bob I love him and I've missed him. And if there's anyone else that didn't quite make it in, I see there were a lot of people that kind of joined us afterwards. If you have prayer requests, all you need to do is private message me or post them in the Christian Direct Seller, and I'll be happy to pray for you. I love you guys, and I'll be with you next week. Take care. Bye now.